We've been fighting for a long time in Syria. I've been president for almost 2 years, and we've really stepped it up. And we have won against ISIS. We've beaten them, and we've beaten them badly. We've taken back the land, and now it's time for our troops to come back home.
That was President Trump in December 2018 announcing a shift in U.S. policy in the fight against ISIS. The Trump administration said it plans to leave at least 400 U.S. soldiers in Syria, down from recent totals of roughly 2,000. But despite the president's claim, ISIS still remains in the region, and if U.S. troops leave, that could have a major impact on the group's strength moving forward. Aris Roussinos is a correspondent for Vice News and was embedded with the Syrian Democratic Forces as they fought to retake the city of Baghouz, ISIS's final Syrian stronghold. Thanks for being with us, Aris.
Thank you for having me on.
So give us a sense of where you were exactly in the region and what your experience was like on the ground.
So if you picture Syria, you've got the Euphrates River running through, dividing the country in half. And down at the bottom of the Euphrates River, on the border with Iraq, is Baghouz, which has always been a stronghold of the Islamic State over the past few years. Previously to that, it was a stronghold for Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And the situation there is obviously very volatile, even outside the actual front line itself. So what remains of the front line is now just one small village, Baghouz, which seems to have thousands of ISIS fighters and their families somehow crammed inside it. Even outside that area, going further north, even the hour's drive further north, are villages that have been conquered by the SDF, by the Syrian Democratic Forces, that have been in their hands for months, but are still very volatile, still facing frequent attacks, like roadside bombs, assaults on SDF and American forces as driving down the roads, assassinations, drive-bys, all that kind of stuff. So there's two kinds of conflicts essentially going on. There's the main kind of frontline thing in Baghouz, which is, you know, a siege put forward by the SDF with coalition, which basically means American support in the background. And then there's the kind of ongoing low level but growing insurgency in the broader area.
And there's that insurgency you're describing between YPG fighters and remaining ISIS fighters?
Yeah. Or between elements of the local population who support the Islamic State and, you know, SDF troops that's driving up and down in convoy, or local politicians who are working with the SDF.
You mentioned the United States is involved here, but as well, we also know that there are Scottish, Korean, Australian, and other volunteers that you were embedded with. Why is there still such an international coalition part of this conflict?
Well, even before the United States kind of joined in this conflict, the YPG had recruited foreign volunteers through social media, essentially, who felt motivated to go off to Syria to fight the Islamic State when they felt that, you know, no one else was doing this job apart from the YPG. And there are also many others who are very motivated by the left-wing politics of the YPG and the state behind them. To give the example of one American sniper we were with there, you know, he'd got into it through Antifa in the US, got more involved in left-wing politics, and then ended up going to fight with the YPG in Syria.
Where does ISIS stand today in terms of its numbers, in terms of its strength? I feel like we hear lots of information about, particularly coming from our own administration, that this is essentially a coalition that has been eliminated. But you've been on the ground. What are you telling us?
Well, in terms of numbers, like it's almost impossible to say. I mean, for months, people have been saying there's, you know, 1,000 fighters left, 2,000 fighters left. When we got to the front line, like 2 months ago now, you know, they were saying, oh, there's between 100 and 500 ISIS fighters left. But since then, literally tens of thousands of ISIS fighters and their families have kind of disgorged themselves from this one tiny village on the border. So that just in the Baghouz front, it's almost impossible to say how many are left. And then more broadly, as I was talking about the insurgency going on, that's the wider problem. So even when Baghouz is taken, there still will be many ISIS fighters who have kind of melted into the local population, who are kind of, you know, laying low, pretending to be civilians. How many? Hundreds? Thousands? It's kind of impossible to say. The fight against the Islamic State isn't over in eastern Syria.
And what happens to the SDF when the United States ultimately leaves Syria?
Well, what happens to them is Turkey will invade. And that's the main problem the SDF are grappling with. That Erdogan, who has always set himself very firmly against any kind of Kurdish autonomy in Syria or in Turkey. It sees the SDF as part of the PKK, which is obviously fighting the Turkish government for autonomy or independence in southeast Turkey. He threatens repeatedly to invade northeast Syria, to kick out the SDF and the SDC, the Syrian Democratic Council, the local government, and basically install his own kind of Syrian rebel Arab puppet government in the area, which would also lead to the expulsion of tens of thousands of people. The only reason really American troops are staying there at all is just to kind of prevent Turkey invading and, you know, wiping out America's allies for the past few years. It's a very complex, very difficult situation that it doesn't seem that America has a handle on. Even the previous administration has kind of kicked this problem down the road for as long as it could. But there's a fundamental mismatch between the desires or wants of Turkey, America's, you know, supposed NATO partner, and the desires and wants of its actual partner on the ground fighting the Islamic State, the SDF.
Aris Roussanas is a correspondent for Vice News, and you can see footage from his time in Baghouz at thetakeaway.org. Aris, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.